It's the feel-good hit of 2021, the podcast that brings you so much more of this and more of that, just more, and it's better than ever. Best of all, it's free and commercial-free. It's the news, according to me. It even rhymes. With new and improved content, fortified with 27 vitamins and minerals, or maybe not. Be sure to subscribe, because you probably won't want to miss any of this, but you might. Never before has so much offered so little. It's the podcast that will leave you asking questions like, how can I get that hour of my life back? Or what on earth are these guys talking about? Where else can you find this kind of content other than 90% of the internet? We're here because you're there, and I'm not even sure what that means. Be sure to like and subscribe, because you don't want to be the only one stuck in this. It's the news, according to me.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night.
I'm going to come, I'm going to punch him out.
This is why I would pay to see that.
I'm waiting for this, for trespassing on the trespassing grounds. I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy. I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy.
We'll all be happy, Nancy. Such violence.
Those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID.
Individuals who are infected through breakthrough infections, namely vaccinated people, who ultimately get infected, that they are generally without symptoms or minimally symptomatic. However, it is clear that they are capable of transmitting the infection to uninfected individuals. And the data that they reported indicates that if you look at the level of virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and has a breakthrough infection, and compare that to the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person who's infected,
they're the same.
They're essentially equivalent.
It's only with the breakthrough people. The breakthrough. It's only with the breakthrough people.
Play the radio. Make sure you have the record player on at night.
Go back. I'm going to turn the record player on here so we can have a live show here in a minute. That's what we're going to do. So we're going to do that because this is the news. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Can you hear me now? I said this is the news, according to me. Oh, good morning, folks. It is a live show this morning. Live. We are alive with the live show. Yeah. I'm going to talk about a few things here this morning. Most importantly, I'm going to talk about what's in my cup. It is Wednesday morning, June 21st, live show at 8.09 a.m. I am your host, Kevin. That's all you need to know about me. Only other thing you need to know about me is what my opinions are about everything in the world. First up on the agenda, first most important thing is we need to, we're keeping those folks that are in that submarine in our prayers. Them and their families and the team that's looking for them. This is the kind of thing that these guys are going out risking their lives looking for these guys. It's enough of a risk that these people are taking. Then they go out and go on a submarine, pay a bunch of money, go out there, have this whole issue. Now you got the issue of this massive search that's underway now to try to find the submarine. It behooves me. I don't understand. Apparently the ocean, I know the ocean currents, maybe they went down and they lost power and this thing's drifting around in the ocean somewhere. And they have to take all that stuff into consideration. I don't know. I would imagine that they went down where they first went down was close to where the Titanic is. I don't know how, then they have a mothership that controls, they have to have, I don't know. It's just, it's bizarre to me that the scope of this search is so large. I don't understand that part of it. Maybe you can explain that to me. And then we have the issue of now they're hearing banging somewhere, but they don't know if the banging is coming from the surface or from down below. Very telling on some of this is that this was actually I believe it was an Orion. I'm not sure what kind of airplane it was flying around. An aircraft actually picked up the banging sounds. Now, this tells you something about the technology that we have available today in, as far as audio sensing. They can literally be flying over my house, hearing my voice without any electronics around anywhere. They can hear my voice. Yeah. Not picking up a transmission signal. Just picking up banging from an aircraft. Let that soak in for a minute. Ever been on an airplane? Can't hear anything outside the airplane. Flying around, hear something on the ground. That's impossible. Unless it's a glider. It's a glider. Cranky, it's a glider. Sorry, I had to pick on my people from down under. When they say the letter H, they say H. That's how you can tell if someone's Aussie or not. HDMI. You have a HDMI cable? Cranky, I do. It's on the walking path. So, here we are. We have, and by the way, what's in my cup? That's next important thing on the list. What's in my cup this morning? I have chai with cinnamon creamer in it, of course. And it's almost gone. In preparation for the show here, I've been messing around prepping for the show. In the process of prepping. That's what I call it prepping. It's my HDMI cable. I have, I'm prepping and I have my, I drank my chai while I'm prepping. They call me a preppy. Back in the, '80s, '70s, there were, you know, there were the grunge students. The grunge one thing hadn't really happened yet. Preppy was in. You had the little, you know, it was kind of the, just the beginning of disco back in the late 80s, or early 80s, I should say. Disco kind of came in late 70s, early 80s. That's what I meant to say. And, of course, that was the right as the kind of competing with the whole rock and roll era, you know, the REO Speedwagon, Styx, Eagles, all those groups that were actually knew how to play music in front of groups. They were actually talented. It wasn't all processed. I'm not saying there's no talented musicians now. It's just back in the day when a band was a band, they didn't have auto-tune. It wasn't a production number. It was just they played really well. I'm not saying that their music was necessarily uplifting and godly. Let's put it that way. But they were talented. At least musicians had some modicum of talent. Able to repeat it on stage. The backup cup this morning. Sweet tea. I have very little left. I have like a half a cup here. I'm savoring every sip of that. I'm going to have to make some more today. And then I'll be traveling again on Friday, which means I'll have to take a bunch of it with me because I'll have to either drink it all or take a bunch of it with me because, you know, can't leave that stuff sit around for much longer. But that's not a problem. I can handle taking it with me. I got lots of containers. So I have interesting show for you today. A couple of things that are happening. The thing that sparked kind of my agenda for today's show, I was listening to Mr. Reagan, Sean, and he's called Mr. Reagan, listening to his show this morning. And interestingly enough, he was kind of on fire today in terms of what he was talking about. One of the things he was talking about was aliens and this whole thing about the aliens. All this whistleblower thing with the alien. Oh, there's aliens out there. The government has all this stuff on aliens. And one of the things that made it obvious, he kind of did a little bit, just a scratching of the surface on this thing in terms of whether or not it's legitimate or not. And everybody kind of wants to think, oh yeah, there's aliens out there. The geeky crowd want to say, oh yeah, there's got to be aliens because they want to have. If they think all this stuff is real and the government's hiding something from us. Well, I got news for you. This is the same government that you claim lies about everything. And we know they lie about everything. This is the same government that, or, you know, organizations, and this is what amazes me about the whole Hunter Biden thing as well, because this is same scenario. You've got an IRS that is absolutely weaponized against certain groups, but all of a sudden they've come after the president's own son. They can't be weaponized. This can't be a rogue organization. Look, see, they're fair and balanced. No one's above the law, see? This is where that's going. Now, while all this stuff is happening, and of course you've got the indictment of President Trump right on the same day that they bring out all this evidence of the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden collusion with Russian oligarchs and the money that has been shoveled into their bank accounts. And now all that's going to go away. This is where they're trying to take, this is the end of the investigation. Now, there's a couple of things about this that are kind of, this is all a big chess game. And the timing, you have to understand the timing on all this stuff. Now, it's an investigation that's been going on for over 5 years with this Hunter Biden thing. Well over five years. And you have to understand the timing of this and how they were probably squeezed to do things that they probably weren't. They're trying to make all this work out. And we're going to talk about this now and how the lamestream media has played into this narrative and how it feeds into everything that they're doing and why it does at the same time that these trials are going on with the former president, with Trump. They're really working hard at spinning this narrative. Now, I would imagine that the war rooms are busy every morning in terms of how we're going to present this, how we're going to spin this, how we're going to do. They won't call it spin. They'll call it presentation. What are the key words that we need to use here? What are the key phrases, key words? What are the things that are polling well? So that this is how they do this stuff. Now, we'll see, and I'll play some clips here in a little bit after the show warms up and we have some listeners. I'm probably too early for my crowd. I don't think my crowd gets up to about noon. That's fine. I'm okay with that. That's if you're on the West Coast, that's, you know, it's still early. That's noon our time. Still 9 o'clock. But anyway, you know, some of you like to listen to me while you're driving to work, and that's impossible if you go to work early. Right now, if you're going to work at 9 o'clock, you might tune me in if you're on the East Coast. I don't have a breakdown of. I wonder what the breakdown is. I can't find, like, there's not like a state to state breakdown in my. Who are the real fascists? That's episode 540. It actually has the most listens to it right now. That's not that. That's it. Wasn't that long ago. That was this year. That was okay. That's not too bad. You know, people have been listening to that one. Script subscribers, got subscribers there. Annotations, monetization, analytics. What do you have here? Graphic stats. Yes, it doesn't break down into states, and I wish it did. Here we go. It does have it. It actually does have a breakdown of that. I never knew that before. Interestingly enough, Indiana has the highest listening rate, listens by city. Virginia, California, Oriental California, Northern California, looks like. And Michigan is in there, close. There's another one, Indiana. Indianapolis is actually pretty high. Michigan is fairly high. And then it goes to Colorado, Illinois, Arizona, some more from Indiana there. Yeah, Michigan and Colorado's got quite a few in there, actually. Arizona, more Michigan, California, Florida. Yeah, look, that's interesting. There's some Carolina, Maryland, New York. All 50 states, I guess, and they're down there. Yeah. Well, this is actually by city. Wow. Okay, that's interesting. Missouri, Oregon. Well, thank you, folks, for listening. I do greatly appreciate that. This is all broken down pretty well in terms of areas. I did not know it would do that. I had no idea it would break it down like that. Let's see, we'll go to Columbia, see what it has for me. Yep, nothing there in Columbia right now. The interestingly enough, why didn't it go back to, there we go. No, that's not what I wanted. Huh. Geographic states, top episodes, geographic states. Show current chart, county chart. No, it's not what I want. There we go. Okay. Mexico, Canada, United Kingdom, Netherlands, Italy, Australia, Vietnam, and Belgium. Vietnam, United Arab Emirates. Those are the top 10 states that are listening. Mexico, there's more in Mexico than there is in Canada, interestingly enough. And United Kingdom, more in Canada than there is in United Kingdom. So that's interesting. So it's kind of it's an interesting breakdown. Now I can look at Mexico here and look at, let's see if it breaks it down by county. Country. Yeah. Guadalajara, actually. I go to Guadalajara occasionally, or I will be going to Guadalajara. Whatever that is. Yeah. Most of the people are from Guadalajara. Looks like there's a pretty high rate of listeners there, interestingly enough. So just a little bit of a breakdown. Now let's get into the story of what the whole show is about today. Go back over to the channel just in case anybody's making any comments. We have a couple of interesting clips here to play. And this plays into this whole thing. Mr. Reagan, Sean, his show this morning was very telling. He really did a good job of connecting the dots on this whole thing of distraction. Now, the Hunter Biden issue, in fact, is there's a thing called, there's a term. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a physician. I'm not any kind of a financial counselor. I'm not a certified anything with regard to professional services for people. I have a lot of opinions. I'm not. Now, there's a long list of some things I'm not. So this is all my opinions on stuff. However, listening to Robert Gavea this morning, he's a lawyer, defense attorney from Arizona, Watching the Watchers is kind of the name of his channel, I believe. His YouTube channel is just Robert Gavea, Esquire. And he lays out this issue of what actually happened here. This is a bait and switch on the Hunter Biden thing. It's very clear what they're doing. They're charging Hunter Biden. He's agreeing to plead guilty. However, there's this thing called diversion. He's not even going to be charged with anything. By pleading guilty, he is being absolved of any federal charges. You will not hear this in the mainstream media. The way they're placing this, he will not have anything on his record. He will not have any federal crime on his record. They're going to make it look as if he has pleaded to these charges. And the charge, he made the deal before the charges were even filed. This is very, very, if you dig into just dig down a little bit here, and if any kind of investigative journalism on this, they would blow this thing whole wide open. But nobody's doing that. They're taking the story that they're hearing from some other, nobody's investigating this. This is not investigative journalism. This is investigative commentary. They're not even investigating anything. It's just news commentary is all you're getting from the mainstream media, from MSNBC and CNN. It's all you're getting. CBS, everybody else. They're all doing the same thing on this one. They're all circling the wagons around this whole thing. And it all has to do with, okay, everything's gone now. See, the Republicans are wrong. There's no weaponized justice system. There's no weaponized FBI. They're all, there's no one above the law. They went after the president's own son. See, nothing to see here. They're all fair. It's all fair and square. For, you know, honest Joe. That's what we've got now. Yes, that's what they're trying to tell us. Because this case has nothing to do. Well, they've been looking into this and they haven't found anything wrong. He made $1.5 million in this one year, and the next year he made $1.5 million. His tax liability was $100,000, and he didn't pay taxes on that. Now, they're getting him for late filing. They're saying it was late filing. That's what he's being accused of here. Late filing. Late filing is nothing. You pay the interest back on your tax liability. They're saying he has a $100,000 tax liability on a $1.5 million. Really? You have an advisory firm. You're not manufacturing widgets. Your overhead is zero. You're telling me you took in a $1.5 million giving people advice, and you had expenses of $1.4 million? What are you paying for internet? This is absolutely insane. You're getting free rides on Air Force One. Not even paying for travel expenses. And usually when an advisor, if I bill someone for advisory stuff, for advice, let's say I'm hired as an advisor by some company, and they're going to pay me $150,000 a year, or whatever it is, $100,000 a year. Apparently, that's what he's getting paid, $100,000 a year. They pay all your expenses. You don't pay any of that. A buddy of mine worked for a long time in a plastics industry where he was thermo injection, plastic molding, and doing some other things with high end. Laser cutting. We're talking metal. There's these lasers now that you can cut with laser. And what it does is the laser actually, they use oxygen assist on the laser. So what the laser cuts doesn't, laser's not actually cutting the steel. The oxygen is cutting the steel, but they inject this oxygen into where the laser hits the metal. It's a very high powered laser. And it ends up, that's what ignites the oxygen. So it's like an oxyacetylene. In an oxyacetylene torch, you're using the acetylene as the fuel. The oxygen creates the heat that you need. And then when it gets to the point of the metal melting and metal vaporizing, catching on fire, basically, it's burning the metal. The oxygen then, once that metal has caught on fire, it goes to straight oxygen. You take your acetylene torch, you heat it up to the point where it starts to melt the metal, and then you push this little button on your torch, and it turns into straight oxygen. So now the metal is burning, and you're just feeding it with oxygen. And that continues to feed the burning of the metal, and you're just using that oxygen then to burn right through the metal. With the oxygen feeding the torch there. They're doing the same thing with the laser. Okay, I don't understand I'm not a laser technician. All I know is they're using that laser with that oxygen assist to come, the oxygen then comes in and cuts the metal with the assistance of that laser burning through the metal. It's very precise, extremely precise. I don't know, how did I get off on this subject? What was I talking about? Anyway, this guy's giving advice, and he retired from this company that he was working for, and then they hired the other companies that he had helped to install all this equipment in, and they hired him then he was the only guy around who knew what was going on. So they hired him as an advisor when they tried to do this production stuff on their own. They needed something would break, and they had to have him come out. He'd go down to South America or wherever it was, or over in Europe or wherever these machines were. They were trying to get things working. Well, they hired him as an advisor. They would pay him big money to give them advice. But he didn't have to fly himself there. They paid for him to come there. He had no expenses. He had no overhead. You have very few expenses. And this at this point, because you're not, you know, now if you have a manufacturing facility, everybody says, oh, well, you know, he had expenses. He went 1.5 income, but, you know, he only made $100,000. $1.5 million income. Only made $100,000 because, you know, he had expenses. No, every business has expenses. So, you know, his profit margin was really small on an advisory business. Now, if you've got a shop where you're building furniture and you pay for, you know, say you have $50,000 in wood that you have to purchase to make this furniture, and you sell your products for, say you sell all, your total sales for the year is $200,000. Your rough material then is $50,000. The labor is probably $50,000 or more. Then you have the overhead of the fixed expenses, your shop, your facilities, your electric bill, your gas, heating, air conditioning, whatever it is that you're doing to maintain your climate control within your building. The taxes on your building. Maintenance and upkeep on your building. Cleaning supplies. Advertisements. If you're marketing this thing. Your sales expense. You have all this stuff that feeds into all of that. Okay, I can believe that maybe at the end of the year, if you have $200,000 in sales, you had $50,000 in raw materials, $50,000 in wages, which is really low. You probably only have maybe two people working for you, one and a half, one person full-time, another person part-time. Pretty small company, really. And you sell $250,000 worth of stuff. And labor is $100,000. $150,000. So you have $100,000 left over to pay for all your fixed expenses, marketing, everything else. Let's say that's $2,000 a month. That's $25,000 there in a year. So now you're down to $75,000. So maybe you'll make 50 grand. Maybe. You as the primary operator, owner, primary worker, probably. 50 grand. That's pretty high expenses. You know, after all that. They're saying he made $1.5 million of income and his tax liability was $100,000. Now, amazingly, at $100,000, the tax rate is 7%. 7%. One of the lowest tax brackets. It is actually the lowest, I think, compared to not having to pay a tax at all. I think it's the very first, it's the end of the first tax bracket. Make over $400,000, now you're paying almost double that. Strangely enough, he falls into the $100,000 mark. So he has to pay, what is that, $7,000? Peanuts. He's got that. Could sell one piece of artwork for that. By the way, art income on art sales is not tracked by the IRS. Little known fact there. There's a lot of people trade art. They sell art and they trade it. This is all part of the scheme behind the scenes with the elites. They use this kind of crap for moving money around and moving wealth around and paying people off. They use it like currency. It's not tracked by the IRS. The reason is because they can't put a sum on it. They can't put a value on it. It has no intrinsic value. It's all subjective. Now, having said all that, here are some clips to prove my point. And we'll talk a little bit about the whole alien thing in just a moment after we talk about this. But this, I think this pretty much sets up the whole thing. Let's hopefully this will play properly. Sometimes this stuff does play well. It's hopefully the volume level is good and all that stuff, and hopefully you can hear this fine. Hopefully it's not too loud, too soft, whatever it is. I'm going to play this first clip, and we will see what we can do with this after we're done here. Let's see how it goes. Here you are. First clip. This is a bunch of new. This is kind of a collage of a bunch of news organizations talking about this whole thing and what's going on with it. So let's just go with that. I just lost my track here. Where am I at? There we go. Okay, here we go. Ready? Here we go.
They've been trying to paint a picture of a Justice Department that has been weaponized against Republicans in favor of Democrats.
Given all of that and given similar cases with tax fraud, this is not a sweetheart deal. It's a deal. I think it's a good deal for Hunter Biden in that he will stay out of prison, end up with only two misdemeanors on his record.
A rare charge. I think it indicates that the prosecutor's gone out of his way to charge everything that could have been charged.
And it shows that no one is above the law, which is important, not even the president's son.
Obviously, Trump Republicans have been trying to stir up conspiracy theories left and right.
All right, let's look at these individually. Let's start with the first one here. Let's go with this.
They've been trying to paint a picture of a Justice Department that has been weaponized against Republicans in favor of Democrats.
Given all...
So what he's saying here is they, who he's referring to, they've been doing this. The Republicans. The Republican House, Senate, those in the Republican Party, and the pundits have been painting this picture, supposedly, of this weaponized Justice Department. This is supposed to make it all go away. This is not a sweetheart deal. Well, it is for Hunter Biden, but it's not a sweetheart deal. You know, because he's being charged with misdemeanors. It's like jaywalking, folks. It's like jaywalking. This is a sweetheart deal. This will not even go on his record as a felon. He committed felonies. Gun crimes. He committed gun crimes. And it's not going to go on his record. Felonious gun crimes. Money that was laundered all over the place. That is so obvious from bank records that Congress is going after this thing, finding all this stuff. This is supposed to absolve him of all wrongdoing. Listen to how they're saying this stuff. So here it is again, what this guy was saying, and we're going to go on to the next one.
They've been trying to paint a picture of a Justice Department that has been weaponized against Republicans in favor of Democrats.
So it's weaponized against Republicans in favor of Democrats. Taibbi goes off to Congress to testify. The Democrats jump all over this guy. He considered himself a Democrat. More left-leaning, liberal. Well, he woke up to this whole thing then he gets home and finds a notice that the IRS was at his house to serve him with tax evasion. There's a difference between tax evasion and late on filing. Hunter Biden would never have paid these taxes because he was evading them, not because he was late on paying them. He was evading them. Tax evasion puts you in prison. He's playing stupid here because they think you're stupid. This whole thing is a setup, and it's all designed to cover up the crap that's going on with the DOJ to make it look like, oh, we're coming down tough on the president's son. There are obvious crimes that he should be in jail for, that anybody else will be in jail for. Lil Wayne, all these other people that were put in prison for the same exact thing. So let's see what else we have to hear. Here's the more talking points.
Given all of that and given similar cases with tax fraud, this is not a sweetheart deal. It's a deal. I think it's a good deal for Hunter Biden in that.
Okay. It's not a sweetheart deal, but it's a deal. It's a good deal for Hunter. Well, that's the definition of a sweetheart deal. Who's it not a sweetheart deal for? What are you saying here?
Given all of that and given similar cases with tax fraud, this is not a sweetheart deal. It's a deal. I think it's a good deal for Hunter Biden in that he will stay out of prison and end up with only two misdemeanors on his record.
A rare charge.
Stay out of prison and end up with only two misdemeanors on his record.
Two misdemeanors on his record. I don't think he's going to have that. I mean, misdemeanors, you can still get a gun permit with misdemeanors. You can still get a job in a high security position. Federal background check will not state anything of your record has nothing on it. His insurance won't even go up. Obviously committed felony. He confessed to nothing because they're going to it's called diversionary. Diversionary filing. What they do is they come back 6 months later and however long they determine. If you can stay clean for 6 months or 3 months or whatever it is, and you don't get in any and commit any other crimes, you come back and you go to a review and they absolve all of the record. There's nothing there. He won't even have misdemeanors on his record. They haven't even done their due diligence in any of this. I'm not a defense attorney, but this is what was being told to me by a defense attorney this morning, by Robert Gavea. This is what he said. It's very obvious what they're doing here. This is a bait and switch. This is a, look what we're doing to this guy, because this bolsters all of our talking points we can shove back in their face whenever they come at us with this stuff. And this is what's going to happen when anybody's ever brought on board. I guarantee you this stuff's going to come back to bite them. But it's going to be a while. In fact, the whole alien thing now is still creeping in. And it's almost as if they were expecting some kind of an alien attack. Now, you watch what happens. I have always kind of wondered how they will excuse the rapture. How is this going to happen? How is the rapture going to take place and not be something, because they're going to try to explain it away. All of a sudden, all the Christians disappear. What are you going to say? How are you going to explain that? It either has to be done in the cloak of darkness where, and it's, interestingly enough, you know, that's even what Messiah said. What if the power grid were to go down? All of a sudden, we had no television, no internet. All we were doing, you know, now we're back to rumors again. Community by community, rumors, radio, possibly being able to speak, you know, generators, these guys with ham radios being able to talk to each other. That's all we got left. Very little communication. Batteries, battery power, generators, all we got, that's all we got left. And all of a sudden, a bunch of people disappear in the midst of all that. How are you going to know? And maybe people just bugged out. Maybe there's an EMP that goes off, really shuts things down and burns things up. So then what? We're basically in darkness again. And at that point, in darkness, like a thief in the night, he comes and takes us away. People will not be asking about the rapture. Where'd these people go? I don't know. They must have went somewhere. Probably took off for someplace south. I don't know where they went. Or alien abduction. Strange that the aliens only took the Christians. Somehow it's going to be explained. And it's going to be in the midst of something chaotic. It's got to be in the midst of chaos. So that's all I can say. There's got to be some kind of chaotic event when the rapture happens. Now, that event could happen at any time. I don't know. That's the way I see it unfolding. Now, God can do what he wants to. And I don't, this is just me thinking in my own head how this could all go down. But they will definitely have some kind of spin on this whole thing. Try to explain it away. It's my opinion. They do it. That's just their narrative. That's the way they do everything. And here we are in the middle of the spin factory. So let's go on with this next statement now. Now, she was just saying how this was a sweetheart deal. Well, you know, it was a good deal for Hunter Biden because he was only going to get a misdemeanor on his record. Well, he won't even get that, folks. I guarantee you that will not be on his record. They won't talk about it. But I guess three to 6 months from now, you watch. They won't even talk. This won't be reported on, at least by any mainstream individuals. But they will absolve even the misdemeanors off of his record. I guarantee you. That's what's been set up here. That's the way they set it up. He's getting nothing. He has to behave for 3 months. Well, that's easy to do. And Secret Service protecting. They're not watching him. Good luck for his probation officer, which he will not even have a probationary officer assigned to him because this was all a deal done before they even put any charges on his record. This is really screwy. It's a really screwy deal. Nobody's talk about a sweetheart deal. This is the definition of a sweetheart deal. Let's continue to go here because they continue to spin the narrative.
A rare charge. I think it indicates that the prosecutor's gone out of his way. To charge everything that could have been charged.
To charge everything that could have been charged. I think I messed up. I think I screwed up the recording here. This is, see if I can fix this because it's really kind of messed up.
To charge everything that could better. Have been charged.
And it shows that no one is above the law, which is important, not even the president's son.
To charge everything that could have been charged.
And it shows that no one is above the law, which is important, not even the president's son.
Obviously, so, a rare charge. I think it indicates that the prosecutor's gone out of his way to charge everything that could have been charged.
So there's nothing else. He's gone out of his way to charge everything that could have been charged. There's nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else to see here, folks. Everything that could have been charged, this prosecutor's gone out of his way to charge everything that could have been charged. Beyond this, he's squeaky clean. There's nothing else that Hunter Biden has ever done besides this misdemeanor. We've looked into it for 5 years. It took him 5 years to figure out that he hadn't paid his taxes on $100,000 and that there was a gun crime. Because he was high and didn't know what he was doing when he signed the paper. You're still committing a crime. Your choice to get high is your choice to get high. And what you do after that, after you get high, it's kind of like alcoholism. Alcoholism is... When it's called a disease is something you catch. If you self-impose, it's like saying, well, I have a disease. I cut myself. And I have this disease of bleeding from my arms because I cut myself. I'm addicted to cutting myself. It's a disease. That's not a disease. That's self-inflicted harm. Now, you can call it what you want. The definition of a disease is something that you catch from someone or that you get genetically. Now, some people are predisposed to habitual behavior more than others. There's just something weird about the way some people are designed, and that runs in families typically. Some people are more susceptible to alcoholism than other people are, or to addictions. That is, they have addictive behaviors, and it seems to come from something that's genetic. It seems like it, or else it's a learned trait. I don't know which, but. Regardless of that, you choose to drink. You choose to drink to the point where it becomes a habit. then it becomes a bad habit. Then it becomes a self-imposed problem. That self-imposed problem is not, how do you call that a disease? It's not like cancer, which, I mean, if you smoke a pack of cigarettes every day and you get cancer, cancer is the disease. What caused the disease was self-imposed. Now, radon in your home causes cancer, apparently. You have no way of, but the disease then, it's not self-imposed. It was, unless you're living there knowingly, in the middle of radon. So I just have a problem with calling it that. I'm not saying I don't have any empathy for people who are alcoholics. Don't get me wrong about that at all. I absolutely do. I've lost family members to that. But it's not something that you catch from someone else. So it bothers me that we make it sound like, well, it's a disease. Well, the disease is different than, it was self-imposed, it was self-inflicted. Now, this guy saying this stuff about these charges, there's nothing else beyond these charges, and because, well, you know, and you can't pick on him because he had a disease. He was addicted to crack or whatever, or cocaine, or whatever it was he was addicted to. I know he was smoking crack. He has pictures of him smoking crack, but he had these issues. So we can't blame him for any of this. Really? Can't blame him for any of this. He was the one, well, he signed that paper, but he was high when he signed it, so he can't be held liable for that. So when you're drunk and you run over somebody, can't be held liable for murder? Absolutely you can. Ridiculous. So, and we go on. And this just shows that no one is above the law. Let's see how this works here.
And it shows that no one is above the law.
It shows that no one is above the law. Here we go. How many other parts of the narrative are they going to fill in with this whole thing? And nothing happens to this guy. He's not being charged with 40 years in prison for the things he did.
Which is important. Not even the president's son.
Obviously.
Not even the president's son. No one's above the law. Which is important. This is important. Not even the president's son. No one's above the law, but, you know, he gets off with nothing. So he is above the law. But they're making it out to be this big thing that, oh, look at this. Even the president's son got charged. He's not going to jail. He's not going to prison. His probation is actually null and void. They're going to call it probation. It's not probation. Not in the traditional sense. And 3 months from now, everything will be absolved from his record. He will have nothing on his record at all. Not even a misdemeanor.
Obviously, Republicans, Trump Republicans have been trying to stir up conspiracy theories left and right.
And this has now become a conspiracy theory. That's what we're calling it now. Conspiracy theories left and right. This Morning Joe, who used to be a Republican, by the way, until some lady was found dead in his office. It was an accident. Sure it was, Joe. So we have so there's this all this distraction stuff. Now let's get back to this whole alien thing again. The whistleblower that has come forward on the whole alien information. Now, I know some of you are really looking forward to aliens being out there. And I believe that there are beings that are making themselves known, who are alien to us, but I don't believe that they are extraterrestrial. Extraterrestrial. I'm not an English teacher either. So, yeah. Scripture says very clearly there will be signs in the sky, in the heavens, sky in the heavens. I believe there's technology out there right now that is far beyond what our brains can comprehend to some degree. And whether it's our technology, and what's interesting about this is, I just discovered this recently. I didn't realize this. The Navy, you know, they have their own department of, you know, they do their own experiments, they do their own stuff, and they won't tell the Army or the Air Force what they're doing. The branches of the military have this little competition going on where one will play with technology and the other one will play with technology, and they're doing things to try to outdo the other without telling each other what they have. It's very possible what we're witnessing with some of this alien stuff is that the Navy has something that the Air Force doesn't know about, or the Air Force has something that the Navy doesn't know about. And they're toying with each other. This could very well be the issue here. This could very well be happening. Now, it could be that the Russians have something and they're toying with us. I or China, maybe. I doubt it. But it's possible. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit. I'm thinking they're too smart. I don't know. Maybe they don't have, you know, the capabilities that I hope that they do or think that they might. At the same time, those capabilities are all great, well and good, as long as they're used for well and good. In the hands of the wrong person, some technology, just like the internet in the hands of the wrong person, if it was controlled by the wrong person, Google, it could become a very evil thing. Can be used for evil, can be used for good or evil. It's not the technology that's the problem. The supposed mark of the beast, where you can't buy or sell, is not the technology that they're going to use. It's not necessarily the evil part of it. It's how it's used to control us. Oh, they won't use it to control us. Oh, really? Vaccinations. You don't get your look what happened recently here. This last week. An Amazon driver had his headphones in, listening to music or whatever he was listening to. He approached a door, and an automated reply from the doorbell said, "Excuse me, can I help you?" Now, I don't know if it was the actual owner who did that or if it was automated. I think what was automated actually, I think, was the motion sensor automatically told him there was somebody at his door. I think the story was wrong, in my opinion, but this is just my opinion. I don't know that you can hook up an automated response to someone walking up to your door. Because somebody's going to walk up to your door and then it's going to say, "Excuse me, can I help you?" And, or, you know, what do you need or whatever? And they're going to say, "Well, I'm here to buy, to do whatever, you know, checking your meters. I got it." What's the thing going to say? "Thank you. Just leave the package there." "No, I don't have a package. I'm here to check your gas meter." "Well, thank you for leaving the package. Have a nice day." What's it going to do? Unless it's got AI where it's, you know, it's reading. I think what happened here was it automatically sensed that there was someone there at the door, and it popped up on his phone. He said, and he saw the person at the door, and he said, "Excuse me, can I help you?" Well, this guy, he apparently misunderstood what the guy said and thought he said a racial slur. Well, he didn't say a racial slur because this whole thing was recorded. The driver then reported to Amazon this guy said a racial, gave him a racial slur, and he was afraid for his life. Amazon shut off his Alexa. I'm not going to pronounce it correctly because I don't want to set off your Alexa, even though I probably just did. Alexa, make the News According to Me my favorite. Play all of the episodes of News According to Me. And don't stop playing them. Just keep playing them over and over and over. Sorry for that, folks. Sorry if you have Alexa in your house. Sorry for that. They shut off his... Now, think about this. If you have a smart home where you depend on it to open up your doors and open up your turn on and off your lights and your whatever else gadgets you got in your house, the Internet of Things in your home. Really? So this is not the government that's going to shut you down. It's the company you buy all your stuff from. All of a sudden, they're shutting you off. They're shutting you down because of a perceived, not a crime, a pre-crime or a social crime, social score issue. Because social score is more important than freedom of speech. Oh, you have the right to say whatever you want, but you have to face the consequences of the social score. So you really don't have the freedom. In order to retain your freedoms, you can't say what you want to say or say what you are allowed to say or even talk about anything like that. Oh, that would never happen. Apparently, where were you the last couple of years? So, here is more on, I can't remember even what this clip is about, but I'm going to play it. I'll give you my commentary after I play it because I can't remember what I was going to play. I have the feeling this has something to do with the whole, let's just play it, see what it is.
You can see this as a significant victory for Hunter Biden, but also look into whether he was violating the law by representing foreign companies or governments. You know, NBC News reported that he was paid millions of dollars, some $13 million from Ukrainian and Chinese business interests. At the end of the day, investigators did not find criminal wrongdoing in any of that. At the end of the day, investigators did not find criminal wrongdoing in any of that. The end of the day, investigators did not find criminal wrongdoing in any of that.
All of a sudden, he's absolved from any of that. NBC reported there was $13 million. There wasn't criminal wrongdoing in any of that. This is wiping the slate clean from everything. Really? This is the narrative they're going to go with on this. This is where they're going with all this. This now is supposed to say, it's all been debunked. It's all now a conspiracy theory. And those of you who believe in that stupid alien stuff, that's all conspiracy stuff too. I think they're going to try to discredit people with this whole thing. The guy who was the whistleblower, let's get back to this whole thing. The guy who was the whistleblower about the alien stuff. They all said, everybody's jumping in on this thing. They've done some examination, some background into this guy, the whistleblower. He has no evidence. None. The statements that he made were approved by the Defense Department. You're not a whistleblower if you go to the authority that you're blowing the whistle on and they give you permission to say what you're saying. That's not whistleblowing. This is any examination. If anybody was at all any kind of a investigative journalist, they would have found this stuff out on this guy. But they're pushing this stuff. And in my opinion, it makes them look illegitimate. It makes them look silly. It discredits them for pushing this stuff out without doing some due diligence in really looking into it. Now, I think the reason people have not responded, oh, look, the government's not coming out and saying they got aliens. And nobody's paying attention. It's like nobody cares. Well, it was intended to be a distraction, first of all. Secondly, people are looking at it and going, yeah, whatever. I don't think people are buying it, hook, line, and sinker here. This is the same government that has been telling us all this other stuff. The same FBI, the same organizations, these intelligence organizations, who told us that, well, the Hunter laptop has all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. Oh, yeah, maybe it was true. It probably was real. It wasn't Russian. It's the same government who told us that vaccinations would stop COVID dead in its tracks. Once you have these vaccinations, you won't get COVID. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. This is the same government, and by the way, the IRS, the same, all of a sudden everybody trusts the IRS that they've done their due diligence here? That we've somehow absolved Joe Biden and Hunter Biden of all this criminal activity? Because, well, the investigation's over with. Now, here's the twist on this. And I'm going to end the show with this part of it. Here's the twist, and I think it's going to be a problem for them. I think they had to put this out before they wanted to. Think of all the times Congress has asked Christopher Wray or anybody else in the FBI about the Hunter Biden laptop scenario, the whole situation. What have they always said? Well, it's part of an ongoing investigation. We can't comment on that because it's part of an ongoing investigation. Now their comment will be, well, that investigation was, we investigated all that. We found that this is, and he was charged on, he was charged on these things. Yeah, but what about these other things? Well, that was the end of investigation. Investigation's over now, so I can't comment on it. We didn't find anything there. Really, you didn't find anything, or what you found, so they have discretion. When a police officer sees you roll through a stop sign, he's not obligated to pull you over. He has discretion. He might be on his way to doing something else. Maybe checking up on a domestic situation, a domestic violence situation. He doesn't have time to stop you for rolling through a stop sign. So he's not going to do that. Just because you got away with it, he was sitting, you know, he was right there, doesn't mean that you didn't commit a crime. But that police officer has some discretion in when they will enforce, it's called enforcement discretion. Something like that. Discretionary enforcement, I think, are what it's called. And they have what's called selective enforcement as well. They can, if you're speeding and two other cars go past you, they can still select you as the one they want to charge with or to pull over for speeding. They don't have to pull over the fastest guy. So there's some discretion in what they can do. Selective enforcement. This is what's happening here. It's selective enforcement. It's discretionary enforcement. So they can look at all those other things and say, well, we're not going to go after those. Whether it's because they don't have a strong enough case, whether it's because it would take too much, they don't have the resources, whatever it is, they just can't enforce what is further than that. Now, Congress is coming out and investigating all these things and finding all this stuff. In less than 6 months, they found more stuff on Hunter and Joe and Jim than 5 years of investigation, over 5 years of investigation from the Federal Bureau of Investigations, who has more resources and tools and capabilities at their fingertips than Congress does. That's all they do. They're the Federal Bureau of Investigations. And all they can get this guy on is a couple misdemeanors. It absolves him from everything else. They've looked into everything else, and everything else is fine. And again, it goes back to the whole money laundering thing, and they know how to do it because they have people working on this stuff all the time. This is how they see how the criminals do it. They see how the drug dealers do it, and then they just did the same thing. We formed 10 LLCs. We have 10 different bank accounts all over the world. They'll never be able to track the records on some of these banks. There are still some banking institutions, places in the world. You can put money in there. And if anybody shows up to ask you any questions about your bank account, they will haul you out and put you in prison. I used to be in Grenada. If you walked into a bank and said, hey, does Joe Smith have an account here? They would literally haul you out, put you in jail for asking the question. It was a serious matter for anyone to inquire about someone else's banking that they were doing there. Now, everybody started investing in Grenada. It's putting money in banks in Grenada. Well, then it became corrupt. As soon as the corruption started happening, it all fell apart. People started pulling their money out of Grenada. I don't know if it's straightened it up or not now. There's Antigua was a place all the islands down there for a while. That's how they would get a lot of their income, the banking institutions down there would feign some things like that, and then they would just do other things. And this whole thing, in fact, speaking of feigning, this whole thing, feign means it's like a fake out. It's like you're feigning like you're going to throw a punch, and you don't throw the punch. Instead, you throw a kick. So you get their attention on the punch, and then you throw the kick. And it's kind of it's a way to read the other person's response to what you're about to do. And when they start to respond to what they think you're going to do, you're trying to telegraph something. And it's called misdirection. It's also used in the arts of magic, what we call magic. It's just prestidigitation. It's this thing where you divert someone's attention, or you tell a story that it does more than just divert. It's like, look at what's in this hand while you don't see what I'm doing with my other hand. It's more than that. It's actually setting the story up to create something in your mind, this picture of what you expect to happen. It's creating an expectation, what you're about to see, and all of a sudden something else happens. That's where that's true diversion. So it's more of a mental diversion, and it's much more powerful than just sleight of hand. This is what we're seeing right now. We are seeing a major diversion happen here. It is a diversionary tactic, which I believe even the alien stuff and all that other stuff is all part of all of the stuff that's going on. Because when you dig down at all and into any of this, you'll find that the real stories that are trying to pop out and things that are trying to happen, all of a sudden they have this other thing that's coming out that overshadows the whole thing. So that's just my opinion. That's what's happening right now. Thank you to those of you in the room and those of you who have joined us and left us, even those of you if you have left the room, whatever's happened there. But I'm afraid that the show is an hour long, actually a little over an hour long now, and it must come to an end. Now, some updates about next month, July. The month of July, all of my Mondays are going to be free. So which means I am going to be doing live shows Monday mornings all January. There's 5 Mondays, I think, in January or in July. I'm sorry, July. And I believe all of those possibly on the 3rd, July 3rd, I may not have a chance to do a live show. It all depends on where I am because I may be off playing around that weekend. But it's all the other weekends in July, I will have a live show on Monday morning. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That's what's going to happen. So the rest of the week, God bless. I probably will be here tomorrow morning yet, a regular recorded show, and then Friday possibly. God bless everybody. Have a great day.